We last left our narrator talking once again about the weather and the streets outside of Scrooge's counting house, and how the Lord Mayor sent the wife and baby of his tailor to buy beef. Foggier yet, and colder, piercing, searching, biting cold. If the good Saint Dunstan had but nipped the evil spirit's nose with a touch of such weather as that, instead of using his familiar weapons, then indeed he would have roared to lusty purpose. The owner of one scant young nose, gnawed and mumbled by the hungry cold as bones are gnawed by dogs, stooped down at Scrooge's keyhole to regale him with a Christmas carol. But at the first sound of, "God bless you, merry gentlemen, may nothing you dismay," Scrooge seized the ruler with such energy of action that the singer fled in terror, leaving the keyhole to the fog and even more congenial frost. At length the hour of shutting up the counting house arrived. With an ill will, Scrooge dismounted from his stool and tacitly admitted the fact to the expectant clerk in the tank, who instantly snuffed his candle out and put on his hat. "You'll want all day tomorrow, I suppose," said Scrooge.
"If quite convenient, sir."
"It's not convenient," said Scrooge, "and it's not fair. If I was to stop half a crown for it, you'd think yourself ill-used, I'll be bound."
The clerk smiled faintly.
"And yet," said Scrooge, "you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work." The clerk observed that it was only once a year, a poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December, said Scrooge, buttoning his great coat to the chin. "But I suppose you must have the whole day. Be here all the earlier the next morning." The clerk promised that he would, and Scrooge walked out with a growl. The office was closed in a twinkling, and the clerk, with the long ends of his white comforter dangling below his waist, for he boasted no greatcoat, went down a slide on Cornhill, at the end of a lane of boys, 20 times, in honor of its being Christmas Eve, and then ran home to Camden Town as hard as he could pelt, to play at blind man's bluff. Scrooge took his melancholy dinner in his usual melancholy tavern, and having read all the newspapers and beguiled the rest of the evening with his banker's books, went home to bed. He lived in chambers which had once belonged to his deceased partner. They were a gloomy suite of rooms, in a lowering pile of building up a yard where it had so little business to be that one could scarcely help fancying it must have run there when it was a young house, playing at hide-and-seek with other houses, and forgotten the way out again. It was old enough now, and dreary enough, for nobody lived in it but Scrooge, the other rooms being all let out as offices. The yard was so dark that even Scrooge, who knew its every stone, was fain to grope with his hands. The fog and frost so hung about the black old gateway of the house that it seemed as if the genius of the weather sat in mournful meditation on the threshold. Now, it is a fact that there was nothing at all particular about the knocker on the door, except that it was very large. It is also a fact that Scrooge had seen it, night and morning, during his whole residence in that place. Also that Scrooge had as little of what is called fancy about him as any man in the city of London, even including, which is a bold word, the corporation, alderman, and livery. Let it also be borne in mind that Scrooge had not bestowed one thought on Marley since his last mention of his 7 years dead partner that afternoon. And then let any man explain to me, if he can, how it happened that Scrooge, having his key in the lock of the door, saw in the knocker,
without its undergoing any intermediate process of change, not a knocker, but Marley's face.
Ooh, things are getting spooky. I'm going to leave you with Marley's face appearing in an unfancy door knocker in an old house on a street where it looks like it shouldn't have been. I really love that image of a young house playing hide and seek and just getting stuck where they are. I don't know why there's something kind of whimsical about that. All right. Thank you for letting me into your ear holes and to continue reading A Christmas Carol to you. Reading in like 5-minute intervals is going to take quite a while to get through this book, so I think I'm going to need to extend the scene reading a little bit longer or send on weekends. Not sure which works best for me or works best for you, so if you have any preferences, let me know. I'm happy to make things work best for you, because what works best for you ultimately works best for me. Yes, okay, thank you for letting me into your ear holes. I love you all so very much. Be kind to yourselves and be kind to each other, and take good care of your hearts. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.